series on images of the church in the New Testament. Only a couple more weeks. So last week I talked to you about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, we said, is the rule of God. It's the reign of God as king. We said that the kingdom of God is already, but not yet here. The kingdom of God is already here, and yet it's not yet here. You see, Jesus, the king, Jesus became king by dying on the cross, defeating sin, defeating the flesh, defeating the world, defeating Satan. He became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the king has already arrived, and therefore his kingdom is here partially through you and I who serve him as king. And yet in its totality, in its completion, in its perfection, the kingdom of God is not yet here. You see, the kingdom of God will be established in its fullness when Jesus returns. Now, there's a lot that we could say about the kingdom of God. In fact, I could give a whole series like the one I've been giving on the church. I could give a whole new series on the kingdom of God, which I'm not. Perhaps in a few years, be an amazing sermon series, the kingdom of God. As I said, over 120 times, Jesus says the word kingdom in the Gospels over and over and over and over again. Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And so this week, as I was thinking, you know, what could I teach on the kingdom? If there was one chapter in the Gospels where we have this succinct, comprehensive teaching on the kingdom of God, what is the kingdom of God? It would be Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. So if you have a Bible this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew 13, Jesus gives us seven kingdom parables. Seven parables of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God like? How should we understand the kingdom of God? Jesus explains it to us through seven parables in Matthew chapter 13. And in verse 11, you know, Jesus' disciples, he gives the parable of the sower. And Jesus' disciples are like, Jesus, why are you talking in parables? Why are you using all these parables to talk to us? Why don't you just use plain language? And Jesus says in verse 11, to you it has been given to know the secrets, or perhaps your translation reads, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And so these parables unlock the secrets of God's kingdom. These parables unveil, they reveal the mysteries of God's kingdom to us. You see, the people of Israel thought the Messiah would come and he would establish the kingdom right there and then. They thought that the Messiah would come and throw off the Roman government, the Roman power, and that he would establish the eternal kingdom of God right there and then. And Jesus is trying to tell them, no, that's not what's going to happen. Something totally different is going to happen. And he expresses this, he explains this through parables. Now, what is a parable? The word parable in Greek is parabole, sounds same as English. The word parabole literally means to lay alongside of. You see, Jesus was laying the spiritual truths of God alongside of the physical realities of this world in order to make it understandable. See, in these parables, Jesus is expressing profound, deep spiritual truth. These are abstract, supernatural realities. Deep truths of God. And the average Israeli farmer would not understand what Jesus is talking about. And so what does Jesus do? He uses parables. He talks about farming, seeds, fruit, weeds, harvest time, fishing, all these things that his audience, yeah, these are everyday physical realities. He uses things that they understand in order to explain the things that they do not understand. And so we're going to be looking at these seven kingdom parables. And as we look at them, we're going to ask two questions. Of each parable, we're going to ask two questions. Number one, what does this parable teach us about God's kingdom? What does Jesus want to teach us about his kingdom through this parable? And number two, of course, we want to get practical. What does this mean for you? What does it mean for me? What does this parable teach us about ourselves? So let's look at verse 3. Start with the first parable, the parable of the sower. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus says, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil. and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So the first parable of the sower, Jesus talks about three things. There's the sower, the seed, and the soil, or the ground. The sower goes out, a farmer, with seeds. He's got the same seed, and he's throwing the seed. He's casting the seed all over the place. And he talks about four different kinds of ground, four different kinds of soil. The first soil, the first ground, is the road, this hard, beaten path where men and animals travel every day. And the seed obviously doesn't go inside of the ground. It stays on the road, and then the birds come and they eat it up. The second kind of soil is what Jesus calls the rocky soil. You see, it's a thin layer of soil, and underneath there's these rocks. Now, I had the privilege of going to Israel last year. Let me tell you, the country of Israel is a rocky place. There's a lot of rocks. There's a lot of stones. They have no shortage of rocks and stones in the land of Israel. And so there was a lot of rocky soil there. People knew this rocky soil very well. And Jesus says, what happens to the seed in this rocky soil? The seed in this rocky soil, it sprouts up quickly, but there's rocks, so it can't bear root deep down in the earth. And so when the sun comes, when the heat comes, it withers away. The third kind of soil is what is called the thorny ground. Now imagine a patch of ground with a bunch of thorns and thistles and, you know, thorn bushes. And the seeds land in this ground, and as they begin to grow up, it says that the thorns choke out the seed and it dies. And Jesus says the fourth kind of soil is the good soil. The fourth soil is the good soil. The seed falls in this good soil and it comes up and it bears fruit 30, 60, 100 times over. Now, what does this parable mean? Well, the nice thing is we don't have to guess as to what it means because Jesus interprets the parable for us. In verse 18, Jesus himself gives us the meaning of this parable. And so let's read in verse 18, verses 18 through 23. Jesus says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself. He endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Verse 22, as for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. So what does this parable of the sower mean? Jesus says the seed is the word of God. It's the word of the kingdom. Jesus is the sower. Later on he says he's the sower. And Jesus, as the sower, is sowing the seed of the word of God. Jesus is going around, he's teaching the people about God. And he says the word of the kingdom, the word of God is like a seed. Isn't that a great picture of God's word? You know what I love about seeds? What's amazing, in this little seed, there's life. All that you have for life is in this little seed. You plant it in the ground, and it bears root, and it sprouts up, and it creates fruit, all in this little seed. It's so powerful. It has life. And the word of God is alive. Amen? The word of God is like a seed. It has life. The word of God can transform your life. It can give you new life. But Jesus says, if you want a seed to grow, you've got to have good ground. Now, what is the ground? The ground is your heart. What Jesus is saying is there's different kinds of hearts. There's different kinds of attitudes, different kinds of motives, of responses to God's word. And what's interesting is it's just as true today. This parable is just as true today in our age as it was 2,000 years ago. God's word is going out. It's powerful. It's alive. And yet each one of us represents a different kind of soil, a different kind of ground. God's word is alive, but it needs a good heart in order to bear fruit. So what are the different hearts that Jesus is talking about here? He says the first heart is hard. It's the beaten path. It's been beaten down. It's very hard. It's the path, the road. And the seed does not go in it at all. Satan comes and he snatches the word right away. You know, it's the person that hears God's word, hears the teaching of God, and it goes in one ear and it goes out the other. Has no effect in their lives. The second kind of soil, actually what's interesting is the second and the third kind of soil, both of them represent people like us. People who have received God's word. They receive it with joy, he says. The person on rocky ground receives it with joy. The person gets saved. They believe in Jesus. And yet, Jesus says, what happens to the rocky soil? The rocky soil represents someone who, initially, they get excited about Jesus. They follow Jesus. But then the difficulties come. The heat of this world, the sun, the heat of this world, the trials and temptations of this world come. The pressures from outside come. And this person does not have depth with God. And so they wither away. The other kind of person, again, they're a Christian. I mean, they received God's word. They got excited about Jesus. But he says it's the thorny ground. Now, the thorns are not outside, but the thorns represent inside. Not the pressures from without, but the thorns, he says, are the cares of this world. The deceitfulness of riches. In Mark chapter 4, it says the desires for other things. In Luke chapter 8, he says it's the cares and riches and the pleasures of life. Is that not a fitting description of many people? How many of you have known someone who they got excited about Jesus at one point in time, but then they got distracted by the cares of this world, by the pursuit of pleasure, the pursuit of riches, the pursuit of possessions? Anyone know anyone like that? The thorns of this world distracted them and led them away. Well, the fourth kind of soil is the good soil. Jesus says this is the person that hears the word of God and understands it. In Luke, he says, as for those who are the good soil, they are those who, hearing God's word, they hold it fast, they keep it, they obey it in an honest and a good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. So what's interesting is hearing God's word does not do us any good. All four of these people heard God's word. So I'm glad that you're here in church, but hearing God's word doesn't do you any good. If that's all you do is hear God's word. And even understanding God's word is not enough. Jesus says the good soul is a person who keeps it, who obeys it. You see, the difference is not only to hear the word of God, not only to understand the word of God, but to obey God's word. Are you living in obedience to God's word? Are you following after God's word in your life, putting it into practice? That is what marks the good soil. So what do we learn about God's kingdom from this parable? God's kingdom is growing through the teaching of God's word. The kingdom of God spreads through the teaching of God's word, through the gospel. This parable teaches us that there's different responses to God's word. There are many wrong responses, and there's one right response. The one right response is to hear God's word and to obey it, to follow after it. So the question for you and me is, what kind of soil are you? What kind of soil is your heart? What kind of ground is your heart? Are you the hard ground? You hear God's word, it's in one ear and out the other. Are you the rocky soil? You know, this morning you can make a decision to change. Perhaps in your lifetime you've heard God's word, but you've never really taken it in. You've never really accepted it, never really believed it. Why not change this morning? Perhaps you're in here and you're kind of like the rocky soil. There's been times in your life where you've been excited about Jesus, when you followed after Jesus, but then the problems and the difficulties of life come and they take you away from the Lord. Why not make a decision this morning to change? To follow after God, to be that good a soft ground and receive his word and obey it. Perhaps your heart is like the thorny ground. You know, there's been times in your life when you've been excited about Jesus, but you know that the cares of this world, the pleasures, the temptations, the desire after, the pursuit after material things has distracted you, gotten you off track. Why not decide this morning to put those thorns aside and to be a good soil? What kind of soil are you? Well, let's move on to the second parable, the parable of the weeds. Verse 24, the parable of the weeds. He put forth another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and they went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came, and they said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" So Jesus tells this story of the wheat and the weeds. You see, a farmer, apparently he's got a lot of land because he has several workers working under him to help him take care of this field. He goes out and he sows good quality wheat into his field. He plants wheat. But at night, it says, when he and his workers are sleeping, an enemy comes and he plants weeds into his field. What a horrible thing to do, planting weeds in the field. And after some time, the workers notice, wait a second, there's a lot of weeds here. And they go to Jesus, I'm sorry, they go to the master, and they say, there's a lot of weeds in this field. How did this happen? And the master says, an enemy did this. An enemy planted the weeds. They said, all right, well, let's just go out and we'll uproot all the weeds. We'll take all the weeds out right now, and we'll let the wheat grow. And the master says, no. Don't do that, because if you try and uproot the weeds, you'll also uproot the wheat. You see, this word weed is probably talking about a darnel, something called a darnel weed, or a bearded darnel. And the thing about the darnel weed is that it looks just like wheat. This darnel weed looks just like the wheat until they're mature, until they're full grown. You see, once they're fully grown at the time of harvest, the darnel weed, they have the kernels are black. And so then it's obvious. It's very obvious to see, oh, well, this is a weed. I can pull that out. But until they grow and the kernels appear, they look identical. And so the master's saying, don't uproot the weeds, because you'll probably take out a lot of the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the time of the harvest. At the harvest time, then gather all the weeds together and we'll burn them. And then all the wheat gather together and we'll put it in my barn. So what does this parable mean? Again, we have the privilege that Jesus himself interprets this parable for us. So we don't have to guess what this parable means. Jesus himself interprets the parable for us. In verse 37, Jesus says, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man." In verse 38, "The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." So Jesus says, this farmer, this master, that's him. That's Jesus. The field is the world. And Jesus says the wheat represents the sons of the kingdom. Those who have heard, that it's the fourth kind of soil, right? Those who have heard God's word, they've received it, and they're living, they're following it. They're living in obedience to it. That's the wheat. That's the sons of the kingdom. And Jesus says the weeds represent the sons of the evil one, the sons of the devil. Now, how do we become sons of the kingdom? How do we become children of God? By building our life on God's word, living according to God's word. So if we become God's children by living, by following God's word, whose word do the children of the devil follow? The children of the evil one, the children of the devil, build their lives, they follow the lies of the devil. Jesus said that Satan is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. And so the children of the evil one are those who follow after Satan's lies. And how many people do we know that follow after the lies of the devil? You know, it's all about being happy. It's just about you. Doesn't matter what you believe. Just be happy, right? Or, you know, there is no real truth. There's no real life after death. There is no real God. Or we can't know God. Or the lies of the devil are the thorns, right? The pursuit of pleasure, the pursuit of riches, the pursuit of wealth. Lies of the devil. How many people are living after building their lives on the lies of the devil, the lies of this world? And in the end, they'll find out that they're empty. They are lies. They're being deceived. But the purpose of this parable, Jesus says, is the weeds will grow with the wheat until the end. And I think it can be encouraging for us, because sometimes, don't you ever feel like, God, if you're so powerful, why don't you just come and remove all the evil out of this world right now? Anybody ever felt like that before? God, if you're so powerful, if you hate sin, why don't you just come right now and just remove all the corruption, remove all the evil, remove all the sin, remove all the wicked people out of this world. Just take them out. And Jesus is saying, no. Both will grow, both will remain until the end. The wheat and the weeds of this world are going to stay until the time of the end. But at the end, God will judge. There will be a day of judgment. In Revelation, we learn more about this day of judgment. Every single person, every one of us in this room, we will have to stand before God and give account of our lives. And God will judge. Those who've done wickedly, on the basis of our works, all of us are condemned. None of us are good enough. If it was just based on our works, on what we've done, we've all done so many bad things. But those whose names are written in the book of life, those who've been cleansed, been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You see, those who believed in Jesus, who put their faith in him, put their trust in him and his sacrifice on their behalf on the cross, will be saved. Not by works, but by his grace. Rick talked about that a little bit in communion. And Jesus says, throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now what is Jesus talking about there? He's talking about hell. Is anyone in here comfortable with the thought or with the doctrine of hell? I'm not. Do you think God wants us to be comfortable with hell? Hell itself is an uncomfortable thought. It's an uncomfortable thing. It's designed to make us uncomfortable that we would think about, hey, I don't want to be there. But hell is a reality. And any book or any prophet that denies the reality of hell, you're contradicting Jesus. Jesus talked about hell. Over and over again, he talked about hell. And he knows. I mean, he came from heaven. He knows what's on the other side. So we should believe him. Jesus talked about the fiery furnace. He said it's a place of weeping, gnashing of teeth. That talks about conscious torment. So what does this parable teach us about the kingdom of God? At present, there's both good, righteous, there's wheat, and there's also the weeds. There's evil, there's wicked. And it's going to be this way until the end of time. God's not going to intervene and take out all the evil until the end of time, until judgment day. And the good will spend eternity in the kingdom of their Father. Jesus said, you'll shine. You'll shine not with our glory, but with the glory of God's light himself. We'll shine. We'll spend eternity with God in his city, Jerusalem. But those who have not followed after God, who have not received his word, they'll spend eternity in the fiery furnace. So there's an important question for you and I this morning. Are you wheat or weeds? Are you wheat or are you weeds? Whose word are you building your life on? Are you building your life on the word of God? Or are you building your life on the lies of this world? Whose word are you building your life on? Are you wheat or are you weeds? And for those of us who are following after God, those of us who are wheat in this world, don't let the weeds uproot your faith. Amen? Don't let the weeds get to you. Don't let the weeds of this world uproot your faith. There's a lot of weeds out there. Sometimes there's even weeds in the church. But don't let the weeds get to you. Don't let them uproot your faith. Now let's continue on with the parables of the next two parables have the same meaning. They're short. The mustard seed and the leaven. Jesus says, verse 31, the parables of the mustard seed and the leaven. He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable, verse 33, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. So Jesus tells these two stories, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven, and both of them have the same meaning. You see, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The mustard seed is so tiny, it's the smallest of all the seeds. And yet when it is fully grown, it's this big tree. It's larger than all the other plants, garden plants. So what is Jesus saying about the kingdom there? I think it's pretty obvious. The kingdom begins small and it grows large. And it's interesting, he says, so that the birds of the air nest in its branches. Now that's interesting. If you study that phrase, the birds of the air nesting in branches, if you study that in the Old Testament, you'll come up with Ezekiel chapter 17, Ezekiel chapter 31, Daniel chapter 4. Whenever the prophets of the Old Testament had a vision of a tree, a large tree, so large that the birds came and nested in its branches, it was a picture of an empire, a picture of a kingdom that was so big that people from all tribes, from all nations, would be part of this kingdom. And so Jesus here is prophesying through this parable of the mustard seed. He's saying, my kingdom will be so large that there will be people from all nations, people from all tongues, all languages, all tribes will be part of my kingdom. It will start small. It started with Jesus, started with 12 apostles, and now it has grown to be a worldwide kingdom. And this, the amazing thing is, this is not no longer prophecy. This is history. Amen? We're part of a global family, large enough that the birds, all kinds of people from all kinds of cultures are part of God's kingdom. Christianity is the largest religion in the world. It's the most international religion in the world. The Bible is the most translated book of all time. We're truly part of a global kingdom. And the same thing with the leaven. There's a woman. Now, the reason why Jesus says woman is because that was women's work back then to bake the bread. And what they would do is they would take a piece of an old dough, a piece of old dough, and they would let it ferment, and they would put that old dough into a new dough, and it would make it rise. It would permeate. Now, sometimes people say, well, this means that the kingdom of God is something to do with sin or evil because of leaven. But in this case, in the context, we see that it has more of a positive meaning. Leaven really just symbolizes permeation, you know, the spread of something. So Jesus is saying, and what's interesting is this woman, she takes 3 measures and she makes bread. Now we think, oh, 3 measures, she's probably making, you know, 3 loaves of bread, this little old woman. Well, if you have a new international version, it says 60 pounds. 1 bushel. So she's baking a lot of bread, 60 pounds of flour. I looked up the National Association of Wheat Growers. They said 1 bushel, 60 pounds, you can make 42 1.5-pound white loaves and 90 1-pound wheat loaves. Now, I don't know why you can make so much more wheat loaves with the same amount of flour than white, but that's what it says. Anyways, the point is you can make a lot of bread. This is a lot of bread. So Jesus is saying the kingdom of God starts small. It's hidden. I mean, in the first century, nobody really knew much about Christianity, but it grows, it permeates throughout the whole world. So what do we learn about the kingdom of God in this parable? The kingdom of God starts small and it grows big. And what does that mean for you and me? Hey, as a church, we're part of a global family. I've talked about that a few times. And if we're part of a global family, are we taking part in that family? We already are part of a global body. Christianity is a global religion. So if we already are part, are we taking part? Are we actively part of what God is doing in his church around the world? Let's continue. Go quickly through the last couple of these. The parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl. Again, these fifth and sixth parables, just like the parables of the mustard seed and the leaven, they're two short parables, and each of them has the same meaning. The parables of the treasure and the pearl. In verse 44, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Verse 45, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it." So Jesus tells two stories. The first is treasure. A man finds treasure in a field and he covers it back up. He buries it back. And then he goes and he says he sells all that he has. He sells all that he owns in order to buy this plot of ground and go back and, you know, uncover this treasure, and the treasure is his. The second parable, there's this merchant, this trader, retailer, and he finds this pearl, and it's so valuable to him, this one pearl is so valuable to him, that he sells all that he has in order to get this pearl. Now, what is Jesus saying about the kingdom of God? I think it's pretty obvious. The kingdom of God is valuable. The kingdom of God is precious. In fact, the kingdom of God is so valuable, it's worth all that you have. It's worth all that we own. Amen. I hope there's a lot of amens. Some people are like, is it really worth that much? So yeah, the question for you and I is, how much is the kingdom of God worth to you and I? What is the treasure of our hearts? What is the pearl of your heart? What's the treasure of your life, the pearl in your heart? Is it God's kingdom? The kingdom of God is worth all that we have. And Jesus said, "Whoever wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. Whoever wants to keep his life, to hold on to his life, he'll lose it. But whoever gives up his life, will gain the life that I give him." And our God is a God who gives us. When we give up things for him, he'll give us back 100-fold. That's what he promised. If you give up mother, father, daughter, son, if you give up possessions, houses, you give up lands for God, he'll give you 100 times over. You know, it's interesting, this last week, we moved, you know that we lived in Austria for 12 years, and I was looking forward to having my children grow up, you know, speaking both German and English in a bilingual environment. And one of the sacrifices that we made, one of the things we gave up moving here was, well, I guess they won't really speak German. I guess they won't really learn German. You know, my kids are half Austrian. They're half American, half Austrian. And they're not going to be able to speak German. You know, that's the language of Austria. And what's amazing is, on last Monday, I found out that in Salt Lake City, there's a German immersion program. There's a school that offers a German immersion program where they learn in English and German, everything in German and in English. It's a charter school. Called them on Monday, and Lisi visited the school. They were open. They were excited. You know, Lisi is Austrian. German is her native tongue. And Friday, we visited the school, and yesterday, we got the call that Joel's been accepted. And so Joel will start this. And then if Joel is in, then Jonas, you know, next year when Jonas goes to school, he'll automatically be in that school. And for me, it was just another lesson that, hey, when I give things up for God, he knows how to give it back. So the kingdom of God is valuable. And if we give things up for the Lord, he gives it back to us in ways that we could have never imagined. Well, we have to trust him and give it up. The kingdom of God is valuable. It's worth all that we have. Well, let's finish with this final parable, the parable of the net. In verse 47, the parable of the net. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore, and they sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what's interesting is in this parable, again, Jesus gives us the explanation. In verses 47 and 48, we have the parable. And in verses 49 and 50, Jesus interprets the parable for us. So what is this parable, the net? Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a fish net thrown into the sea. And this fish net catches all kinds of fish, good fish and bad fish. And when it's full, the fishermen drag this net to shore and they start sorting out the good and the bad. You know, the stuff that can be eaten and the stuff that's not edible. And the good, they keep. You know, they're going to sell it, they're going to eat it, and the bad, they throw out. I don't think this is the best parable for Greenpeace. If you're ever invited to a Greenpeace function, probably don't want to talk about this parable. But it's a good image. Now, what does it mean? Jesus says this parable has to do with the end of the age. It's similar to the parable of the wheat and the weeds, right? Very similar. The kingdom of God gathers all kinds of people. All kinds of people are attracted to God's kingdom. Good fish and bad fish. And he says at the end of the age, once again, we see God's not going to come and sort everybody out. And that's not my job as the pastor, to sort everyone out in this church, you know, the good fish from the bad fish. My job is to catch as many fish as possible. Amen? That's our job. And God's job is to sort them out at the end of time. And Jesus says, actually, he focuses in this parable on the bad fish. Once again, he warns us, he reminds us, those who have not followed after him, those who are not walking after Jesus, following Jesus, he says they'll be thrown into the fiery furnace, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. These are the words of Jesus, not my own words. So if you got a problem with that, you got to take it to him. He's the one who taught it. So what does this parable teach us about God's kingdom? God's kingdom attracts all kinds of people. But at the end of time, God will judge each one of us. And so again, the question is, are you wheat or are you weeds? Are you a good fish or are you a bad fish? Are you following after the Lord, walking in obedience to him? Or are you allowing the cares of this world, the pursuit of pleasure, the pursuit of riches and fame or power? You know, there's so many cares. There's so many ways to get caught up, to get distracted from the Lord. Addiction, affairs, all kinds of ways to get distracted, to get thrown off track. Let us not be the thorny ground. Let us not be the rocky ground. Let us not be the hard ground. Let's be that soft, good soil that receives the word of God and obeys it, puts it into practice so that we can bear fruit. Let's join the sower. Jesus is the sower. Let us join the sower in sowing the seed of the gospel and multiplying his kingdom until the king returns. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came and you told us clearly about your kingdom. You told us about the reality of heaven, the reality of hell. You told us clearly the way of salvation, and it's through you. It's through you alone, Lord Jesus. And whether or not we like that, whether or not that makes us feel comfortable, Lord, that's your teaching. And we believe that you are the Son of God. We believe that you are the Savior. And so, Lord, we submit. Lord, I pray in this room. Lord, I just pray against hard hearts. There's hard hearts in this room. Soften your heart and receive the word of God. Lord, I pray against the rocky hearts, the rocky soil. If you're going through trials and temptations, I know it's hard, but hold on to the Lord. Take root in him and his word. Do not give up. You will receive a crown of life. There's people in here as the thorny ground. Lord, remove the thorns out of our hearts, we pray as a church. Remove those thorns away from us, that we would receive your word in a good and pure heart. Lord, the cares of this world, the pleasures of this world, the temptations, Lord, the pursuit of wealth and riches, Lord, remove it from our hearts. We want to have a pure heart. We want to follow after you and obey you. Lord, as a church, we say we want to join this mustard tree. Lord, we want to be part of this global thing that you're doing. We're thankful that we're part of this global family. And your word is going out all over the world. And we say as Discovery Christian Community, we want to be part of it. We want to join you, Lord Jesus, and sow your seed. Sow the seed of your word in our workplaces, in our families, amongst our relatives. Lord, everywhere we go, we want to sow the seed of your word so that when you return, Lord, we would be ready for you. God, I ask for anyone in this room this morning, Lord, soften our hearts that we would receive your word, that we would obey your word, and that we would bear fruit. Lord, that we would bear the fruit of your spirit in our lives, and that we would multiply, that we would share the word of your kingdom with others. In Jesus' name, amen.